compassion, infinitely kind. Bless through endless ages, be the precious stream, which from endless torment did the world redeem. Abel's blood for vengeance pleaded to the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries. Oft as earth exalting wafts its praise on high, angel host rejoicing make their glad reply. Lift we then our voices, swell the mighty flood louder still and louder, praise the precious blood.
The congregation is invited to stand for the opening versicles. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, if any man would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
All in my way abiding, deny yourselves, the world forsake, obey my call and guiding, oh, bear the cross, whatever betide, take my example for you.
Congregation may be seated. The part of the Lord's Prayer that we are thinking of today is, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In both these scripture readings, as we read through them and listen to them, think of how that reading reflects upon, reflects back to us, gives meaning to us about God's will be done. God's will be done. The first reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 1. I must go on boasting. There is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel is from Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 30. The congregation may stand. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the 2nd time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the 3rd time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, Greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you came to do. Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets must be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
The congregation may be seated. If you would like, you can look at the insert for today. You're invited to read with me together the parts in bold of the third petition with the meanings that are all written there. We speak together. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You can follow along. I continue reading myself, and you can read if you want, that next little paragraph there, which is taken from the Large Catechism. What we said was from the Small Catechism. But the Large Catechism, Martin Luther wrote a little bit larger sections on each of these parts of the Catechism, and I read this quote. Martin Luther from the Large Catechism, third petition, quote, As God's name must be hallowed and his kingdom must come even without our prayer, so must his will be done and prevail, even though the devil and all his hosts storm and rage furiously against it, in their attempt utterly to exterminate the gospel. But for our sake we must pray that his will must be done among us without hindrance, in spite of their fury, so that they may accomplish nothing and we may remain steadfast in the face of all violence and persecution, submitting to the will of God. If you'd like to fill in the answers there, part one. Jesus said to Paul, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Again, Jesus said to Paul, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. look back up to the second bolded paragraph that we just read under "How is God's will done?" That paragraph right there. God's will is done when He breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Paul had many great revelations from God that we just read about, things that no other person except maybe John, who saw the revelations that he wrote about in the book of Revelation, maybe Elijah, who went up to heaven in the fiery chariot. Paul saw things of heaven and paradise that we have not seen. And yet, Jesus said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Luther made it very plain that it is God that breaks and hinders all the evil powers and the world and our sinful flesh. It's God's power. So when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done," that really is a confession that, "God, you need to do it. Your plans, your strength, that's what I need." Notice that Luther, in both the small and large catechism, he points back to the first two petitions. "Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come." And Luther says in both those petitions, these need to happen in our lives, that God's name is holy in my life and that his kingdom comes to my life. But in this petition, we are saying, and Jesus teaches us to say, but how is that done? God's going to have to do that. God's going to have to make his name holy in my life. God's going to have to make his kingdom come into my life. I can't do it. The great revelations that Jesus gave to Paul to see paradise and to say things that could not be said again, none of those would save Paul. Paul needed Jesus' grace. So that Paul came to say, it's actually in my weaknesses in Christ that I boast, because I'm not the strong one. Jesus is the strong one in my life. I need him. Part two. Jesus prayed for the Father's will be done. Jesus prayed for the Father's will be done. Nothing in Jesus' saving work for us was, and here you could put it, whatever word you like, easy, fun, simple. Nothing in Jesus' saving work for us was easy or fun or simple, whatever you want to put it. Even the Old Testament prophets said Jesus must suffer. Even the Old Testament prophets said Jesus must suffer. Frequently, Jesus taught that he and the Father were one. He was equal with the Father. And yet, in the persons of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they accomplish and they want to save us with their very specific tasks, so to speak. The Father sent the Son, and the Son was to suffer and die. And in that prayer in Gethsemane, I was thinking of what text should we read to think about "Thy will be done." And I could think of no better text than Jesus praying, "Take this cup from me, but thy will be done, not mine." Thy will, which Jesus knew he would bear the sins of the entire humanity, all before him, all during his time, and all up to our time and forever, how long God allows this earth to remain. All these sins would be piled onto Jesus, and the punishment for those sins. and the abandonment by his heavenly Father would happen to Jesus. Knowing this, he said, "Thy will be done." We heard Paul say at the end of that reading from 2 Corinthians, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul knew that what Jesus went through for him was far more than Paul would ever go through. For Paul was saved in Christ. But Jesus, he suffered the punishment for us. And yet, Jesus said, "Thy will be done, not mine, Father." And Jesus' will was that the scriptures would be fulfilled. He said that twice in our reading, at least twice in our reading. At the very end of that reading from Matthew 26, he said, "But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." His abandonment, his suffering, his death, his betrayal, all these things were done, Jesus said, to fulfill the scriptures. Jesus was even willing to suffer that the prophets would be true. To save us, that the prophets would be true, that the word of God would all happen. Thy will be done. And a third point. God's will in heaven and on earth is to save lost sinners. God's will in heaven and on earth is to save lost sinners. And that last line there, and there's a small typo, I'm sorry. While a person may search out for God's will, his will is always to save. While a person may search out for God's will, his will is always to save. Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What is his will in heaven? It's to save lost sinners. He sent the Son, his Son, to be born of the Virgin Mary, of which the angel choir and the angel announced to the shepherds, "This is his will in heaven, is to save sinners, is to bring home the lost." And Jesus described that many times. "This is my Father's will, that none of you should perish who he has given to me." He prays for that. He does that. That is his will. That is his will. And I am guilty of it as much as anybody else. We say to ourselves, "What is the will of God for me?" The will of God is for us to be in heaven, to live in faith now and to be in heaven. That is the will of God. The will of God is that his name would be hallowed in our life. Jesus taught it to pray that. The will of God is for his kingdom to come into our life. That is the will of God. If we say, "If the will of God, should I keep this car in repair or buy a new one?" And we have all kinds of questions like that, right? Do I take the job in Colorado or stay here? Well, don't do anything that's going to get you into hell. The will of God is going to want you in heaven. It's okay. It's fine. Beautiful to pray, "God, show me the right decision. Give protection for this. Bring healing for this." All these things. It's fine. But why did God send his Son? It was to die and rise so that people would have life in God now and forever. That's all. So if we would pray about something and make such a big deal about it that we forget our eternal salvation, that's not the will of God. The will of God is that we are saved. That's all Jesus cared about. Take this cup from me, Father, but not my will, your will be done. When we say these words in the Lord's Prayer, these are deep words. These are eternal words. These are words that have to do with our eternal life. That God in Christ wants us to be in heaven, to live forgiven now, to love one another, and to be in heaven forever. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that explanation from Luther is a wonderful piece of gospel for us. God's will is done when he breaks and hinders. God does it in Christ. Of that we can be sure. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that your will was to save us lost sinners, that your Son would suffer and die and take on the punishment we deserved, and to give us life and peace just as a free gift, nothing we earn or do, but he gives it to us freely. All this is your will for us, your eternal will for us. Focus our lives and faith on these good things you do for us. Help us to see the problems that we face, or situations or decisions, are just small in all of eternity. And whatever decisions we face or may have to make, grant that truly we see your will that we be saved is the primary, first thing of all decisions. Does this keep me in God's word? Does this keep me in God's will to save me? Help us to see this focus that your Son Jesus has given us in this prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the hymn on the page 4 of the bulletin, verses 3 through 5. Come follow me, the Savior spake.
And take the cross appointed.
Congregation is invited to stand for prayer. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
I know that you will strengthen
my steps toward home, then nothing can impede me, O blessed friend. So take my hand and lead me unto